The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Well, good morning and a special welcome to St. Paul's in Mulgay. It's great to see you all today on this glorious sunny day. I hope you've all been enjoying the amazing weather that we've been having. Well, I'm flying solo this morning because both your ministers are away on holiday enjoying the sunshine. So it'll just be myself. And if you don't know who I am, my name is Lindsay. And I'm the probationary minister that's been serving here in Mulgay since September. We say a special welcome this morning to anyone that might be visiting with us, but also we welcome back our organist Bob Harvey, who was playing with us this morning. God's word is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts through our spirits and souls, through our joints and marrow, until it discovers the desires and intentions of our hearts. In the shelter of Christ's mercy and grace, let us dare to hear and explore the truth of God's living word for our lives. Let's come and worship God by singing our first hymn, O God, you search me and you know me. Let us approach God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather here this day ready to hear your voice. And we ask that you still our thoughts and open our hearts and minds to listen. God, we know that you are not a God that is silent, but continue to speak to those that are open to hearing. But Lord, forgive us when we have chosen to turn away from your word, when we have failed to open up our Bibles, when we have closed our ears to your biblical truths. There is no place to hide from you, Lord, so today we confess all that we know that is not right in our thoughts, our actions, and our behaviour. That is hidden from others, but not from you. Cleanse us, heal us, and renew us so we are again salt and light to those that we meet. We thank you for Jesus and we hold fast to our faith in him. For he understands our weaknesses. He faced all our temptations, yet without giving in to sin. Let us go boldly today to his throne of grace. And as your word this morning soaks deeper into our hearts and minds, may we not resist it, but respond in faith and obedience. Let's come now and say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to move my microphone down a little bit because it's bumping. Now, do we have any children in today apart from my own? Oh, I see some over here. Yes, excellent. Hello, how are you? Are you good? Hello, Kieran. Samuel. Anyone else? Anyone hiding? No. So everybody's on their holidays because the schools have broken up, aren't they? So we've just come back from a week away. We were away at Crieff Hydro for my dad's 70th for a couple of days. And then we had a lovely holiday in Kenmore in Perthshire, which was just beautiful. And yesterday we were all paddling, and it was just great fun. So what I was going to talk to the boys and girls today about is how we keep well. So how do you try and keep healthy? Samuel, would you answer that? How do you try and keep healthy? How do you try and keep healthy? You don't know?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to pick on the first row if you don't speak. What are you going to, how do you keep healthy, Samuel? Eat healthy foods, yep.
Exercise regularly,
yes. And believe in God. Oh, you've just spoilt my whole talk. Spot on, Samuel. So, we have to look after our bodies. We have to look after our mind. But we also have to look after something else. And that's our spirit. So, Samuel's talked a little bit about how you look after your body. By taking exercise and maybe eating good foods and not eating too much fast food. And we can look after our minds. Anyone else got any ideas of how we can look after our minds? You got another idea, Samuel?
Maybe keep your mind active by doing puzzles.
Keep your mind active by doing puzzles. Don't just sit on the sofa and do nothing. Perfect. So yes, there's certain things that we can do that keep our minds healthy by doing a variety of different activities. So as a mummy, I'm always saying to my boys, don't sit in front of the computer for too long. Go outside or read a book or do a puzzle. So we have to do lots of different things to keep our minds healthy. Now, I'm looking at the choir and I might be picking on the choir. How do you keep your spirit healthy?
Singing.
Say that again.
Singing.
Oh, yes. The choir keep their spirit healthy by singing praises to God. That's a lovely one, yes. Anyone else got an idea of how you can keep your spirit healthy? Samuel? Talk to God by praying at dinner time. Saying thank you to God for what he's given us. Yes, so keeping our spirit healthy, our spirit is how we connect to God. So how do we keep our spirit healthy? Well, we do the things that we know God has given us to enjoy, so we can go out and enjoy his creation. We can sing our praises to God. We can speak to God in prayer. Where else can we keep our spirit healthy? Any other grown-up got night? Alistair. Read the Bible. Brilliant. So we can come and we can feed our spirits by coming to really appreciate God's word. So if we're reading God's word every day, then our spirits will grow. We become more and more like Jesus and we can blossom into who he wants us to be for his glory. So we're going to sing in a wee while about what we can come to learn in the Bible. But before that, we're going to say a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have created us all in such wonderful ways. We are all unique and special to you, each with different talents, skills and abilities. We thank you for our bodies and we ask that you continue to help us to look after our physical health in the foods that we eat and the exercise that we take. Lord, we also thank you too for our minds and our ability to learn new information and skills at work, school and at home. We give you thanks for those in our lives that help us to stay healthy and well, for our teachers, parents, family members and friends. Loving God, we also thank you for our spirit or soul and the ability that you have given us to come to know you and to receive so many wonderful things. God, we know that when you are in our lives, we can feel more love, joy, peace, and kindness. Please help us to come to know and see you more clearly, for your word to us is alive and active, ready to transform us from the inside out. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing our next hymn, which is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. Before we come to listen to God's word this morning, we're going to sing our prayer of understanding, which we'll sing sitting down. Holy Spirit, hear us. Our first Bible reading comes from the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to be reading chapter 8, verses 1 to 12, which can be found on page 492 in your pew Bible. So that's Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through to 12. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men and women, and others who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Amen. And our second reading comes from the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to be reading chapter 4, looking at verses 12 to 16. And this can be found on page 1203 in your pew Bible. So that's Hebrews chapter 4, looking at verses 12 through to 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. And may God bless to us these readings from his holy word. We'll respond now to God's word by singing our next hymn, which is hymn 543, Christ Be Our Light. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A true story. Well, maybe. Two ladies were walking out of church one Sunday, and one said to her friend, "My, that minister certainly preaches for a long time." Her friend replied, "No, he really doesn't preach a long time. It just seems like a long time." When I read that, I was wondering what these women would have thought about a service that had about 6 hours of Bible reading and preaching, during which the people stood for the whole time. And not only that, they came back the next day for more. So this was the remarkable situation that we read about in Nehemiah chapter 8. And it would be accurate to call this type of behaviour a revival or a time of unusual spiritual renewal. And I know some people here today would have witnessed a time of spiritual revival where people have a sudden excitement again for Jesus. And people in their hundreds and thousands are reconnected to God and his word. From stories from some of you in the congregation, I've heard about the ministry of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham really got people interested in God's preached word again. And people at the time of Billy Graham had no problem standing in stadiums listening to hours and hours of preaching, because there was a real thirst and a real hunger for Jesus. So this is what we can call spiritual renewal. And I don't know about you, but I want this again for Scotland. And I know many other people want this too, but when we look at the statistics about the decline of the church in Scotland, it's not exactly encouraging. The national church in Scotland is predicted to become older, smaller and poorer in the not too distant future. And some have actually also put a year that the Church of Scotland will close its doors for the last time, and that year is 2033. So I might have quite a short ministry. So we have a choice. We can look at these statistics and get thoroughly depressed and give up all hope that a revival in Scotland or throughout the world could happen again. Or we could truly believe in the sovereignty of God, and that through the power of his Holy Spirit, revival can happen again. Now, while I was on my holidays, I'm reading a great book, and it's called Fire in Your Heart by a man called Sammy Tippett. And it's all about the great revivals that have happened throughout the world over the last century. And all the revivals for Jesus all started with someone having a personal revival for Jesus Christ in their own heart. And he wrote something that I wrote down, which I just thought spoke a lot to me, and I hope it speaks to you. He wrote, "Spiritual awakening is simply a fresh view of Jesus. When we see him, there is only one thing we can do. We fall at his feet in sweet surrender to love and worship him. It is that love that spurs us to become the salt and light of this world." And when we have that revival in our own hearts, then we know that the word of God is living and active and has the power to transform lives, even when all hope has been lost. So revival can be defined in one word, and that word is Jesus. When I was looking at this reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, and I've got a confession for you, I did Fergus's pulpit supply this time last year before I was your probationary minister, and I preached on exactly the same chapter of Nehemiah chapter 8. But I'm looking at it from a slightly different angle today. When we look at chapter 8 as a whole, we can see that it suggests four distinct marks needed for spiritual renewal to happen. And we're going to look at each point in turn. So for spiritual renewal, God's people must read his word. That's the first point. Secondly, for spiritual renewal, God's people must reverently hear his word. And thirdly, for spiritual renewal, God's word must be taught. And fourthly, for spiritual renewal, God's people must respond to his word. So firstly, for spiritual renewal, God's people must read his word. In our reading today, the people gathered and asked Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. And they read it from it publicly from dawn until noon. And copies of the law of Moses were probably somewhat rare, and many of the Jews may never have heard it read before. And even when we look in the New Testament, Paul instructs Timothy to give attention in church meetings to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. So the reading of God's word has always been really important. I once heard that the strength of a church will be in direct proportion to the number of people in that church who read and study God's word. The word of God is living and active, so it's going to change a church that read it with a passion. But even though we know we live in a culture where many people can read and have access to multiple translations of the Bible in their own language, if we are being really honest, we know that most Christians spend most of their time, their leisure time, on technology and doing other things than reading and studying God's word. And this became very apparent to me about a year ago. I was still doing my theology degree, and I used to study from time to time in Kilimont Parish Church Cafe. They have a cafe there that runs on a Monday and Friday morning. And I called it studying, but I would sit there with my books, and then everybody would come in and I would just chat to everybody that came in. But I felt like I was doing some work. But one day I was sitting doing some work, and the secretary of the church at that time, some of you will know her, Deborah Chestnut, who's also studying now to become a minister, she said to me, "Lindsay, come into the office because there's so many books that have been donated. There's so many theology books and there's so many church history books. Come and have a look and see if any of them will be any good for your studies." So I went into the office, but what struck me was there was just piles and piles of Bibles. And I said to Deborah, "What are all these Bibles doing here?" And she said, "Well, after a family funeral, the family don't know what to do with their mum or dad or granny or grandpa's Bible, so they just hand it in to the church." And this really struck me, that God's living word had no relevance in the lives of the next generation, my generation. But a more positive story, in the same church at Kilimont Parish Church, which is Stephen and I's home church, there was an elder who had a vision that the church should all be reading God's word at the same time. And she encouraged the minister and the rest of the elders to sign up for something called the Community Bible Experience. And what this is it gets the whole church reading the Bible at the exact same time. So the New Testament is in like a novel kind of book, with the headings and the titles and the verses all taken out. So what you're encouraged to do is to read so many pages each week and then come together in a small group where you'll discuss what you've read with some really light questions. Well, Kilimont Parish Church got roughly 200 people signed up to read the Bible at the exact same time. And there was most definitely a feeling that the Spirit was moving in the church at this time. And people were really stirred to action for God's glory. If we want spiritual renewal to happen, it comes from God's Word. So my first point, for spiritual renewal, God's people must read His Word. There's no point having a Bible on our bookshelf gathering dust. We need to read it. And secondly, for spiritual renewal, God's people must reverently hear His Word preached. Let's be honest, how many of us have been listening to a sermon and then realised we weren't actually listening at all? It happens. So sometimes, even though we can hear, it doesn't mean that we are actually listening. Sometimes our minds wander, and it really annoys me when this happens to me during worship. Sometimes your mind just races off in all sorts of different directions, and it stops you from fully engaging in God's Word or the sermon. But if we believe the Bible contains the very words that God Himself is saying to us, then it certainly means that we should at least try to listen reverently to what He is saying. I had an image of this when I was on holiday. My boys have been listening to Harry Potter on audio in the car. Now, they are reverently listening to Harry Potter, because if the baby makes any squawk or noise, he is silenced, and they're on the edge of their chairs listening to every last word of this book. And I think that just gave me an image of what we should be like. We should have this hunger and thirst for God's Word, so when we come into church, we are sitting up and ready to actively listen. And Fergus and I were discussing the other day how I had been at a different church, and I got patted on the back for being within the hour and doing a short sermon. And that annoyed Fergus, because he says, well, these same people probably have no problem sitting for 2 hours at a music concert or listening to their favourite comedian. And it's true, people pay money to listen to the likes of Michael McIntyre for 2 or 3 hours and have absolutely no problem sitting still for that long. So the people in our text were both attentive and reverent when God's Word was read to them. Verse 3 mentions their attentiveness, and verses 5 and 6 show their reverence. They stood up as to greet a royal visitor, and then they bowed down in worship. And they weren't worshipping the actual scroll that Ezra held in his hand, but rather that God who had given the words of that scroll to Moses and through Moses to them. So they were worshipping God. So attentiveness stems from reverence. So if we maintain our reverence for God and the fact that He is speaking to us through His Word, we will pay attention to what He says. So secondly, spiritual renewal comes through reverently hearing God's Word when it is read and preached. Thirdly, for spiritual renewal, God's Word must be taught. Verses 7 and 8 report that these men who stood on the platform with Ezra explained the law to the people, translating so the people understood the reading. The teachers made the reading of the scripture clear and gave the meaning. And probably Ezra would read small sections, and his assistants in smaller groups would expound each section to make sure that people were fully understanding what was being said to them. And it was only when I went back over this passage for looking at it for this sermon, just counting how many times the word understand or understood is mentioned in this short passage. What was important was when the Bible was read aloud, the people were understanding what was being spoken. And this made me think about our church here at St. Paul's. And I am personally so grateful to Fergus and David and all these many other people in the congregation who regularly preach God's word. We've got Robin, Alex, Douglas, Angus, Stephen, and there's many more that will preach God's word throughout the week here at St. Paul's. And I think this shows that we are a church that is firmly centred on God's word and prayer. So its foundation as a church is solid. I've been here for nearly 11 months now, and it just struck me how important the preached word is to the family of believers here. And this has been a powerful witness to me and also a blessing. When you're a student minister, quite often if you're involved in the only service that happens on a Sunday, you're not listening to the preached word at all. At St. Paul's here, I can hear God's word on Wednesday, on Thursday, and three times on a Sunday. So we are very blessed to have God's word preached to us often. And as a job as a Bible teacher or preacher, we have to communicate this truth simply and clearly. I read this quote from Martin Luther when I was studying, and I hold on to this when I look at God's word. Martin Luther condemned preachers who aimed at the intellectuals in the crowd to the neglect of this helping the simple, unlearned people understand saving truth. He said that even though he had more than 40 doctors and magistrates in his church, when he preached, he spoke to young children and servants. If the educated people were unimpressed, Luther said, "The door is open, let them be gone." So sound teaching of God's word needs to be accurate and it needs to be clear. We want people to fully understand clearly the gospel truth that it's Jesus that transforms lives. And we can't complicate this simple message that gives so much hope. But also God's word needs to be applied to our lives. As we study the word personally or listen to the word preached, we should always be asking this question. Well, so what? What difference should this text make to my life? So this leads on to my final point. For spiritual renewal, God's people must respond to his word. It's dangerous to study God's word without the goal of obedient response. Our aim, as Calvin put it, is always to transform our lives by scripture. So the people in our scripture reading today wept when they heard and understood God's word, because they realised how they had sinned against God. And this is true for us. The more the light of God's holy word shines in our hearts, the more we will see areas where we do not conform to his righteousness. So spiritual renewal always involves repentance. So the people responded to God's word by weeping in repentance as they realized how badly they had failed God. But Nehemiah, Ezra, and the other leaders tell the people not to mourn or weep on this day, but to enjoy the feast, adding in verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And this is true for us too. The joy of knowing that God has forgiven us for all our sins and that we are his people through Jesus should fill our hearts. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And some of you who know me well will know this is my favourite verse in the whole Bible, because it reminds me that who I am in Christ, and that God is the giver of joy. And the joy of the Lord is something that only those who know the Lord can enjoy in spite of their circumstances. And this verse encourages me because it reminds me that no matter what situation I am facing, no one or no thing can take away this joy from me. So you might be walking through a difficult time in your life. But despite your circumstances, God's joy remains because you are loved, forgiven, redeemed child of God who is precious in his sight. And our joy for God should be contagious so that it naturally leads other people to the Lord. For spiritual renewal, let's continue to reverently read God's word so that there is spiritual revival in our own hearts and so that our lives can be transformed for his glory. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you that so many of us here today have witnessed a time of spiritual revival, when people had a passion for Jesus that was contagious. Lord, we pray for a spiritual revival again, a revival that gets people reading the Bible with great attention and reverence, a revival where the Spirit falls and helps people to understand your truths, and a revival where people respond in true repentance and joy, leading to transformed hearts and lives. Lord, help us to take our part in this opportunity. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come to you at any time through prayer. And we thank you for our church community here in St. Paul's. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to sing in response to this message, My Jesus, My Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. We'll continue with our worship by uplifting the offering. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, you have poured out your blessing upon us day after day. You have filled our lives with good things, and we have tasted your goodness and love. Receive now these, our gifts. Receive our faith. Receive our service. For we bring them to you as a small but simple way of saying thank you for all you have done to us in through Christ. Living God, your word is indeed living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we pray today that your word comes into the heart of people that come into your churches. A message relevant for us today as it was in the past, and which has the power to transform lives forever. Lord, we thank you for your word, for giving us the Bible to feed our souls and to encourage us when the going is tough. Living God, we pray for those in our communities that do not go to church for whatever reasons and don't have the opportunities to hear your word spoken or read. We pray for the building of godly relationships in our community of Mulgai and Bezden, for people to see something of Jesus through the actions of Christian men and women in our church. And we thank you for all the services that will happen here today and at Buldarnock, a time of worship, fellowship, hospitality and your word. We pray for those today that have never experienced the joy of knowing you, and we pray for opportunities for your word to be shared and for your spirit to be felt. We pray too for those that have become dulled in their senses and who have forgotten the great joy that can come when they experience something of knowing you as Lord. And we pray for a spiritual revival right here in Mulgai and Besden. We pray that there will be a renewed appetite for your word alone. Looking out into your world, Lord, we pray especially for the young children trapped in the caves in Thailand. Lord, we pray that they will be able to be rescued safely. We pray for all the people involved in this complicated and risky rescue mission. We pray that you will give them strength, wisdom, and endurance. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Just before we come to sing our final hymn, I just want to thank everybody that has kindly got in touch with me as a volunteer for our holiday club that will happen the 6th to the 10th of August in the school summer holidays. It's just been so overwhelming that so many people want to help with this this outreach activity. It's just very important that we have a good team to welcome the children, and I think we've got that. So this week I'm hoping to put our rota together with what people are doing, so I'll distribute that next week. But thank you for everybody that has got in touch. If you're still to sign up, I think the sign-up sheet is still at the back of the church. Why we thought that it was especially important to do the Holiday Club this year is in the Church of Scotland we are celebrating the Year of the Young Person. And this is a national thing, and throughout the church in Scotland, different churches are doing different activities to help reconnect the church to the community and to the children especially. So thank you so much for your enthusiasm. One other intimation is there's just a misprint in the intimations. There isn't a holiday club meeting after the service. That happened 2 weeks ago. It's just the intimation hasn't been taken out, so just ignore that. There isn't a meeting after the service for the holiday club. So we'll come and we'll sing our last hymn together. Come, people of the risen King, we delight to give you praise. And may the grace of Christ attend us, the love of God surround us, the Holy Spirit keep us, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and those we love, this day and forevermore.